Just for putting it up. Wow. It's awesome. My daughter gets to speak next week. I haven't heard her in a long time. Yeah. Tonight, I'm going to continue on what I didn't get to really do the last time I did James. I didn't do it the last time I was up here. I did something else. The Lord kind of prompted me to go a different direction. But tonight, I want to finish up this chapter 2 that I did on James. And hopefully everything goes well. I got rid of the electronics, so I shouldn't have that problem. Anyways, thank you all for being here. Just open in prayer. Father, I thank you this evening, Father God, for your presence in this place, Father. I ask that you fill me with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Father, to anoint my tongue and my lips, Father, to speak your word this evening, Father God, for an understanding, Lord, that you have for us, Father God. Ask for the anointing on the word. Thank you for the anointing upon everyone here in your presence, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll be in James chapter 2. It says, I'm going to just read the whole chapter. I'm going to go back and tag most of the verses. It says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings, fine apparel, and there should also come a poor man in filthy clothes. And you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand here or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my brethren, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme the noble name by which you are called? Verse 8, it says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the laws of transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you become a transgressor of the law. So speak, and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Verse 14 says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, that does not what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect. And the scriptures was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was according to him for righteousness, and he will call the friend, and was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, as was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. So James is a little different than some of the scriptures we hear. And I'm not gonna start at the beginning. I'm gonna start on verse 8 on James. So I want to read that one all over again. I want to go down the line. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. We've all heard that one, right? We do well. In the book of Leviticus 19, chapter 19, verse 18, it says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbors as yourself. I am the Lord. Luke 10, I'm going to do a lot of scripture reading here. So Luke 10 and 25, it says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself and said to the Lord, and said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Who is our neighbor? Who do we know as our neighbor? Is it the guy next door to us? The people who live next door to us, across the street? It's everyone. It's everyone who you don't know that is new to you. We can go to Luke in verse 30 when it talks about the Samaritan. What happened in that one? We don't have to go to the scripture, but most of you know it, right? There you are. Most of you know it. And we know that as this man got mugged the path going from Jericho or to Jerusalem, and he got mugged on the way, and as a priest came about, he saw him laying on the road, and what did he do? He passed him by, right? He said, wow, look at that guy. Went around him. And then later on, a Levite comes, and the same thing happened. He went around him also. But then a Samaritan came, and what was a Samaritan? He was a foreigner. He was not of the faith. He was a foreigner. And if we all know about Samaritans, they were despised by the Jews. So, but this man, what does he do? He takes this man. He takes him to an inn. He pays for his shelter. He buys ointment to set him up so that he is in good hands. And he tells the innkeeper, keep him here until he gets better. And if I owe you more, I'll pay you when I come back. So that is going one going out and putting works into the things of God. But yet he didn't really know. He knew of the Jewish laws. He knows about Jesus, but because Samaritans were sometimes half-breeds. They were half-Jewish, and they were of other race. They were, those who conquered them. I want to say something with it, but I'll just leave it at that. So the royal law, and we had read about the royal law a little while ago, and talking about, you have to live by the royal law, or what is the royal law? And that was the love. Let me read this before I get too far lost. It's a commandment, is the royal law, because it's a commandment, and the royal law is because it was given by our Lord and King, okay, by God, by Jesus Christ. It rules over other laws. Love for a neighbor or a stranger, okay? So that kind of love is going out of your way, just as the Samaritan did, to help someone in need in a time where there's no one around to help them. Love is not an emotion. It is an act of will. Love is a commandment, a commitment, excuse me. Love is a commitment, a commitment. There are many forms of love, and we know of agape love. We know of eros and phileo and all these, and I was going to write them all down here, but I didn't do it. But if you show partiality, okay, and you commit sin, this is verse 9 in James, but if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. So under the laws, and we all know about the laws, that who can live by the law? Can any of us? It says that we can't, right? We can't live by the law because we'll always fall short. So it talked about partiality. In verse 9, it says, if you show partiality, you commit sin. Okay? And are convicted by the laws of transgressors. So partiality, if we bring it up to today's standards, is discrimination. Right? And what is discrimination? It's anything that you disagree with, anything that you think doesn't belong or has nothing. So that's one way of doing it. We all have partiality. Right? In some form, nobody could stand and tell me they never discriminated. Okay. It's over here? I thought it was me. I think it was me touching this. Let me try it this way first. Where's the antenna? There? All right. We'll try that. Okay. We all have partiality with friends and loved ones. Do we not? You favor friends and loved ones, okay? But this is not what he's talking about. It has that judgment in our heart, prejudice and of someone or a group, in the heart. You know, it's deep. It's something that you really feel. You know, and we can all go back in our worldly life and think about how we had that. Something that penetrated our heart because it was real. Verse 10, it says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. So under the law, you break one law, you were pretty much doomed, right? Right? So, and this is James. She's telling, why is James in the New Testament bringing up the laws? I thought we were beyond that in Jesus, and we'll talk about that right now as we go. But here, look at this. It says, if we break one law, we are guilty of all. Now, here's a little kind of illustration. If you are suspended on a platform by a length of change, each link representing the Ten Commandments, or a commandment, doesn't have to be the ten, fastened together, if one breaks, are you still good? If you're on a platform hanging on a chain, let's say you're hanging over the side, and that chain is holding on, and one link breaks, are you still good? No, right? Well, thank God for Jesus Christ, because he is your safety line. You know, if you work in a high place and you see guys wearing harnesses at work and they tie off to something, it's because they're trying to prevent a fall. And Jesus, as our Lord and Savior, is that lifeline to prevent us from falling into destruction. So we are in need of Jesus Christ. Okay? The law brings a curse. In Galatians 3 and 10 it says, for as many are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That's Old Testament, right? Agree with me so far? But, verse 11, it says, but that no one is justified by the law in the signs of God is evident, for The just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Okay, let's go to 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become the curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of spiritual, of the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, living under the law, we can't do it. Again, talking about Jesus being our safety harness there. And being the one who died on the cross for us, from being hung on a tree. So that we can inherit the blessings of Abraham. There's many people in the Jewish culture, or even in the Middle Eastern culture, they all say they're descendants of Abraham. Which by lineage, yes, they are. But so am I. I just want to let you know, I'm a descendant of Abraham. And it is by faith in Christ Jesus that makes us that descendant. So all those that are on the other side of the world that say that they're descendants of Abraham and yet not have the faith and believe in Jesus Christ are not descendants. We might get some whiplash back on that, but it's the truth. You have to be of Christ Jesus to be that descendant, right? To be a true descendant. Because when he died on the cross, he opened it for us to be that. God grafted in. We're in there. We're sown in. They can't kick us out. Praise God. You are covered. Okay. Verse 11 in James 2 and 11, it says, for he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. Going back to the law again. But we all know that you can't commit murder. You know, in our day of society, you can do adultery, but you can't do murder, right? Everybody's, that's just life. But here, it's still the law, okay? We may not be murderers, but have we done it in our hearts? There, we committed murder. It says what you do in your heart is what it is, right? So, okay, we may have committed adultery, lied, stolen, cheated, do whatever. We still broke the law, but yet, through faith in Christ Jesus, there's an outlet of our sins to get us out from under the law, and that is Christ. So do you want justice or mercy when it comes to judgment in that part? Because we are saved by grace. God has taken mercy on us, or Jesus Christ has given us, God actually, through Jesus Christ, gave us mercy so that we can continue to live. Otherwise, we're doomed. We're doomed. You're not going to be able to go to heaven. You're not going to be able to make it anywhere. Because under that law, it's still kind of funny how James would bring it up, but he's trying to prove a point here. Verse 12, it says, so speak, and so do those who will judge by the law of liberty. John 14:15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's a very simple verse. How many love the Lord Jesus Christ? How many keep his commandments? All right, A. Big A plus for you guys. But we stumble and we fall. We make mistakes. If we were under the law, we're just might as well throw a rope over here. Just be that one link that gives way without being tied off somewhere. Okay, so if you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep the commandments, your life should have changed. If you're still living the same life and you're still a liar and you're still a cheat, what are you doing? You're only fooling yourself. Okay? Because for the love of Jesus in your life, you strive to serve him. Isn't that, who are we here to please? Who are we supposed to please? Jesus Christ, the one who's giving us life eternal. That's whom we serve, who we should be pleasing, right? That alone will change your mind, your heart, and your life if you receive Jesus Christ. And if you look in the mirror and you're still the same old guy, the same old gal, and you got the same old tongue and the same old language and the same old mood, you're not saved, brother. You're not saved. You're looking in that mirror. You're lying to yourself. There has to be a change. When God is in here, you can't. That old person can't stay there. You know, comes in, cleans house. All right? John 5:24 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come unto judgment, but has passed from death to life." So praise God, not under the law, but James is still going to tie the law to what we're going to be talking about. But just kind of want to confirm, in case you're thinking, well, the law doesn't exist anymore. Yes, it does. It does, but I want you to be secure in your faith with Christ, okay? So in Romans 14:10, it says, "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." So, you know, hey, so Christians, you know, we got to get rid of the junk, man. And it's so easy. Oh, look at them. I was telling, was it you, Ricardo, I was talking about? And Susan, I was saying about George Lopez. We're talking about hearing a segment of George Lopez one time, and he was talking about, he goes, "Mexicans can't be happy for nobody." And what he was saying rang a lot of bells, because, you know, it goes back, if somebody in the neighborhood got a new car, and the first thing you say, "Oh, look at him. He thinks he's bad now. Got a new car." That was a mentality. You couldn't be happy for nobody. You can say, "Praise God, brother, you're prosperous. The Lord is opening the door. He got you a new good running car." It was like, "Oh, look at him. Now he thinks he's all bad," you know. And he touched base with that. That was so funny, because that mentality exists. Get off that, man. Throw that down the drain. When you're standing in front of the mirror, throw it out, spit it out, vomit it out, get it out of your system, because you're not that person anymore. You're a child of God. You're a whole new creation. All right. Let's see. Did I put Matthew 12 in there? Or I left it out? Okay, we'll press on to verse 13 in James. It says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." The Amplified says, "For judgment will be merciless to the one who shows no mercy." Merciless, going to be brutal. "But to the one who has shown mercy, mercy triumphs victoriously over judgment." Our attitudes will be judged. Is our walk consistent with our faith? Okay. But you are saved by faith that demonstrates works. Okay. You should be changed. You should have a hunger in you. You should have a desire. And I'm talking to myself. Okay. Is God really gracious? Is he true? Does he have integrity? What do you say to that? Yes, he does. He doesn't go back on his word, right? Does he keep his word? Is God really going to judge us? There'll be a time. He's going to judge those who will be condemned, and he'll also judge us for our works. And we'll have salvation, but he's going to say, "What did you do for me, brother? What did you do for me, sister? What did you do at this time?" You know, I had this illustration when I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, oh, we're saved by faith, right? We're saved by Jesus Christ. And this is what came to me. Remember Alice in Wonderland? The Cheshire Cat up on the wall, looking around, tail hanging down, swinging back and forth. I'm born again. I'm saved. Tail swinging. I ain't got nothing to worry about. Swinging. And just sitting there up on that wall. Time to get off the wall, man, and go do something for the Lord, right? Well, you know, I pictured that cat with the, you know, light gray and dark gray stripes, big tail just going like that, eyeballs, you know, they close the eyes real slow and open. And yeah, cats, you know how the cats go. And just like that, oh, I'm saved. I am Jesus, but Jesus wants you to do more. He wants you to move his kingdom. Our conduct before the world will reveal all real convictions about this. If we really believe God is gracious, why do we continue to this conduct or behavior? Do we really want to be judged on behavior on that great day? Something to ponder in your time alone is that we need to evaluate ourselves. We need to get that report card out, and we need to sit there and write down, you know, am I doing what I need to do? You know, Pastor Ricardo has brought messages and talked about stepping up and being, and I love that one of the pit, man, when he did the car, how many seconds it took for a team member to get things done, you know. Verse 14, it says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Can faith save him? Yes, right? You're saved. You believe in Christ. Yeah. I mean, you're redeemed. You're like that Cheshire cat up on the wall. You're good. You're solid. Okay? If you maintain the things of God. If a man says that he believes and does not bring forth works of his faith, this is not true faith. Oh, the cat just fell off the wall. When someone claims to have faith, what he or she may have intellectual assent or agreement with a set of Christian teachings or values. So not have the true word in them. Okay, they agree with it. I mean, how many Christians do we know, or how many people do we know that say they're Christians or say they're born-again Christians, but yet don't live the life? Right? Maybe we were one of them. You know, so there is many people out there. I feel like I'm tied up. There are many people out there. I mean, you've seen them. You know them. Maybe you've been one of them. And say, I'm a Christian. But yet, they're doing the things of the world. You know, ooh, Friday. Who remembers Fridays? Couldn't wait till the end of the week. On Fridays. That Fridays. It was like at work when that flag dropped, everybody raised their hands. What are we going to do on Friday? You know, I'm not going to mention what, but that's how it probably still is today. I don't know. And as much it, let's see, such it would be incomplete faith. We talked about that. True faith transforms our conduct as well as our thoughts. Your conduct, your behavior, your thoughts. You sit there and we can ponder things and we can think about that person, this situation and everything. But if it's not of God, then it's not good. Okay? If your life remains unchanged, we do not truly believe the truth we claim to believe. In other words, you're not saved. Pretty much. You maybe received the Lord Jesus Christ. You got hit with the Holy Spirit and everything. But you turned around and you got up. And you picked right up and just continued on with your life. It was like you were given a gift and you said, well, I'm not ready for that yet. And you tossed it to the side. So there should be, right? If you remain unchanged, did you really accept the Lord as your Savior? Did you really tell him, Lord, I change. I want you in my life. Did you really do that? You know, we can all question ourselves and think, and maybe at times we do. And it's good to question yourself and keep you in check. Okay, Matthew 7:21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness or iniquity. You know, in the scriptures, we hear the disciples complaining and saying, Lord, there's people out there doing healing in your name or doing things in your name. And he says, hey, if they're doing it for me, leave them alone. Right? But if you're going around trying to say, but say those people did. And when they came and they never received the Lord, God will do things. God will use people, bring forth miracles to change lives and everything. But if that person who was there has not received the Lord Jesus Christ, is what? On his way to heaven? How do you enter the kingdom of God? Right? As Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. Jesus exposed those people who sound religious but have no personal relationship with him. I wonder. We should all wonder. Amplified says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a fool or a foolish man who builds his house on sand. Jesus is the rock. If you want to survive a storm or you want to survive anything that's going on, you need to build your foundation on a rock. And that is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? It says, like a house of cards, the fool's life will crumble. Most people do not deliberately seek to build on a false or inferior foundation. Some people don't get the whole truth. Some people don't know everything. Maybe they got the half truth. Maybe they were led to the Lord and that was it. So they never had a chance to build on the foundation that was laid before them. So following up and keeping in touch with people we're keeping them from falling into that lake of fire. Okay? People don't think about their life purpose in Jesus Christ. What is your purpose in Christ? What did you think of that he has for you? What is your purpose in Christ? Pastors are pastors. That's their purpose in Christ. Some of you here are maybe on the phone praying for people. Some of you are on your knees praying constantly for people, family, situations. That's your purpose in Christ. Okay? Some are out there dealing with needy people. Some have other ministries. There's people in this church that we don't even know what they do. Okay? If you're doing it unto the Lord and you're doing it with an open heart and a precious heart unto God, you will be blessed. Okay, where am I at? Okay, many people are headed for destruction. Not out of a stubbornness, but out of thoughtlessness. Didn't give it much thought. It wasn't stubborn. No, I'm stubborn. I don't want Christ. I don't want it. No, don't pull me. Don't take me to the light. The light of Christ. But it's just, they didn't give it much thought. Sometimes people don't give it much thought. What is my purpose in Christ? What is it? Just salvation? Is that it? Am I back up on the wall like the cat? Or do I do something? God has something for all of us, and he wants to use you in that way. Am I getting it? Yeah. I think I keep hitting it with the jacket. All right, we good? Contact.
It's this thing. They stretched it.
Okay. All right, so it's thoughtlessness. You don't think much about it. How many of you had something and you never gave it much thought? You know, it's there. It's there on the shelf. It's in the glove compartment. It's there in the briefcase. It's there in the locker. And give it much thought. Just put it over there. It's time to bring it out. It's time to give it some thought. It's time to give it some purpose. Okay? Part of our responsibilities as believers is to help others stop and think about where their lives are headed and to point out the consequences of ignoring Christ's message. People only get half truth, half a message. But we need to continue ministering to people and show them where they're headed. You know, like I said, a lot of people come, they give themselves to the Lord, and then they go back to the regular life because Satan swoops in and says, put his arm around that person and say, man, you know you miss all those things. You know we were waiting for you. Look at all your friends, man. Look at all the things you used to do. Don't you miss that? And we cave in. We cave in. Verse 15, it says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for their body, what does it profit? Verse 17, it says, thus also faith by itself, it is done, if it does not have works, it's dead. We cannot earn our salvation by serving and obeying God. Right? That's going back to works. Works isn't going to get it all by itself, but work is a big part of it because salvation is only through Jesus Christ. But such actions show that our commitment to God is real. So our actions and doing the things of God that he wants us to do are real. Okay? Deeds of loving service are not substitute for, but rather verification of our faith in Christ. So it's showing that you're stepping out in the things of God and you're showing him that, Lord, I'm trusting, I want to be your servant. I want to be used by you. But some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works or without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Okay? At first glance, this verse seems to contradict Romans 3:28. A man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Paul says if you're saved, if you accept Jesus Christ, you're saved, right? You're born again. You're good. The teachings of James and Paul are not at odds. It is true that good deeds can never earn salvation. And we know that by works, we can't be saved, right? It's only accepting Jesus Christ. True faith always results in a change of life and good deeds. Okay? A change of life and good deeds. Paul speaks against those who try to serve by good deeds instead of true faith. So there's a lot of doers out there who have not received Jesus Christ. They're out there doing good things. But what does it say in the scriptures? It says, I never knew you. You never came to me. We never had that one-on-one relationship. We never fellowshiped with each other. I don't even know you. I don't even know you. Romans 3:21-28, it says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all. And on all who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, excuse me, whom God has set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sin that we previously committed. Oh, the sin that you previously committed. Verse 26, it says, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Verse 27, it says, there is... where is the boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Therefore, we can exclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. So by faith, we are justified through grace, right? When it comes down to it. Verse 19 in James, it says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Okay? And they tremble. It says, to believers in God's in God requires personal trust. To believers in God requires personal trust. You have to be one-on-one with that relationship. You have to trust him in all things, right? Saving faith includes... read this word 100 times. Having the process of knowledge, but goes beyond to a personal trust and submission. So you have to be sold out in the Lord. You can't be wishy-washy. Okay? Verse 20, it says, do what you want, but do you want to know? But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Now you're seeing faith, and now you're seeing works. Okay? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith is made perfect. Verse 23, it says, and the scriptures was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted of him for righteousness, and he was called, the friend of God. You see then that man is justified by works and not by faith alone. So having that righteousness with God, he calls you friend. He calls you friend, and he moves forward because you opened up that relationship with him. You trust in him. You know he saved you. He took you from under the law. You're not suspended and worrying about one link breaking away and you falling over, okay, and losing your life. And James says that Abraham was considered righteous for what he did. Paul says that he was justified because he believed in God. Okay? True faith always results in deeds, but the deeds do not justify us. Okay? Faith brings us salvation. Active obedience demonstrates that our faith is genuine. So what is active obedience? It's doing the things of God. Demonstrating, Lord, I love you. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? How can I, even when he doesn't answer and you stay there and you trust and you keep moving forward, no matter what it looks like. There's a lot of us here, maybe in the future or even now, are going through things and we're still waiting for a message. We're still waiting for amen. We're still waiting for that blessing. We're still waiting for things to come in. But you know what? What did Paul say? Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. So if you're in that category, praise God. Your faith is strong. Continue to build it. Continue to seek him out. Continue to ask. Okay? Verse 25 says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers? The messengers. This is what stood out to me. The messengers. Okay? Are you not messengers? Okay? And set them out another way because harm was coming to them. She made a way of escape for the messengers of Christ, or God at that time. In Hebrews 11, it says, by faith. You go to the faith chapter, it says in verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. In verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so he did not see death. Okay? Verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark. Okay, verse 8, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive an inheritance. He was asked to leave his homeland. Give it all up. Step up. Go. Pack up your bags. Just take minimal. Go. Take your herds and your people and go. And he stepped because he had an inheritance coming, being obedient. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive the seed in her old age. Okay? By verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So when we give blessings to our loved ones, things to come, things are going to come. Those kids are going to grow up. Those kids are going to go out into the world. But if we pray a blessing over them, we pray a covering over them, we pray that they would not lose sight of the things of God, that they are blessed. Verse 21, it says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons, each of the sons of Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel. So he also proclaimed things. God is also going, so he prophesied that we're going to be leaving. You, in turn, have probably done that. Okay? By faith, Moses, when he came of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He came to Revelation and said, wait a minute, I'm not of this world. I don't belong here. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm not of Egypt. And what does Egypt represent? Anybody know? Somebody help me here. Bondage, evil, right? Slavery. See, he realized that he wasn't there. So by faith, he renounced that, being Pharaoh's daughter. And verse 20 says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Okay, by faith, the walls of Jericho falling down after they encircled for 7 days. They didn't act. They worked on it. They went out. They stepped out and did works. God said, hey, how many of them are saying, oh, I got to walk around here in circles. Let's get into the battle. But patience. Let God be in control. That's one thing we don't have. We don't have patience. I don't have patience. I don't want to ask God to give me patience because I don't want to go through that. I'll be humble. You know, be careful what you ask for. I always stop right there. I say, oh, well, no, Lord. I know I'll be more patient. But see, they could have easily said, how much murmuring could have been in there? But you know, they were men of God to stand there and walk and to tear down those walls by thinking, you know, they could have murmured and said, why are we doing this? We're soldiers. We shouldn't be walking. We're not in a parade. But you know what? They did what they had to do. And they had to be in one accord for that to work. They had to be in one accord. It wasn't just leaders. It was one accord of everybody walking in sync and doing that. Okay? Okay, by faith, verse 31, it says, by faith, the harlot did not perish with those who did not believe. They went in there and destroyed that city because she stepped out and received the messenger. She received the message. She did not perish. And her household with her, all those that came into her household were covered. Amen. Verse 26 in James, it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. So you see how they intertwine the Old Testament, the New Testament, Paul talking about faith, James talking about works. It all combines because, hey, we could all be that cat on the wall. I'm saved. Praise God. And that's fine. But you continue in that way, you're going to diminish because you're not communicating. You're not talking to God. He's not being able to use you. You know, I love my couch. It's shaped for me. But we have to step out, you know, and do so many things that God wants us to do. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for the word this evening. Father God, we thank you for coming forth, for giving us the anointing to receive the word, to open up our eyes to hear, our ears to hear, our eyes to see the word of God, to have a better understanding. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place.